Yo, welcome back to another episode of Island Spot Sports. And before we get to our guest today, we have a big shout out for Living Sisu. Living Sisu is a platform and app that wants to give you all the tools to have success in your sport. Their main objective is to activate your lifestyle. So it's for active people. Enjoy discounts at companies like BioSteel, 30% off, Body Logics, The Goalie Guild, All's Books are discounted. Roan, Lululemon for men, 20% off. Online stretching programs with Eccentrics, 1 full month free. They got super silent massage guns, 20% off those. And it's a great quality. It's way less expensive than a Theragun. And it's great quality. So there's so many more discounts that you guys will need to just become a member to see. So they want to provide you with anything you need for success. So come join the community. I'm a part of it. A bunch of other athletes are a part of it. So it's free to join. It takes 20 seconds to get exclusive offers to your sport. And it's definitely worth it. So do us a huge favor and go sign up for Living Sisu's membership. It's free, takes 20 seconds. So go do it and we'll see you there. Living Sisu is a great company. We know one of the co-founders, Zach Ficali. He's a great guy. He's the co-founder. He does a lot of live streams on Instagram at Living Sisu with a bunch of elite athletes. And you learn a lot from like the athlete's determination, the resiliency, everything to what made them become successful. So it's been a great experience so far. So go on. I'm going to leave the link in the description. So go sign up. Yo, welcome back to another episode of On Spot Sports. I'm Jack, and in today's episode, we are joined by a very special guest, professional hockey player Dylan Fox. Dylan most recently played in the ECHL with the Maine Mariners. He also enjoyed a little bit of a cup of coffee in the AHL with the Hartford Wolfpack and started his professional career in the SPHL with the Mississippi River Kings. Foxy also played 4 years of college hockey with Plattsburgh and also spent 4 years playing in various junior hockey leagues. Foxy is also one of the co-hosts for his podcast called Stall Stories. So really excited to have you on, Dylan. So welcome to the show, Dylan Fox.
Thanks, buddy. Yeah, thanks for having me on. I know our schedules are a little wild, but you know, good to sit down with you finally.
Yeah, for sure. It's good to get you on finally because we've been trying to plan this for a while, but it's good anytime that we both have free time to sit down and just shoot the shit and just enjoy another podcast. I'm sure you've been on plenty.
Yeah, it's been, we were talking about it before the show, but it's kind of hectic, you know, setting up guests and stuff. So yeah, I think I'm getting the hang of it a little bit now, you know, being on camera and talking. So yeah, at least I'm talking to someone instead of myself. So
yeah, that is very true there. So to start things off, like, can you give like our viewers like a little background information on yourself, like when you started playing hockey, why you started, like what youth hockey was like for you growing up?
Yeah, it was. I'm actually from right outside of Hershey, Pennsylvania. So I grew up kind of being a Hershey Bears fan and stuff like that. And that's actually where I started playing, was at the old arena there that they played at. So yeah, I started playing there when I was like 4 or 5, and you know, just like anything, like I was, you know, just like any kid, I feel like you kind of play a bunch of sports. And so I kind of did that, you know, did the baseball and, you know, soccer and all that stuff. And then, you know, as I grew up, it just kind of all went to hockey. And so, yeah, it was pretty easy for me. I think I fell in love with it right away. And I played, you know, kind of all over the place growing up, played Hershey Junior Bears, Philadelphia Junior Flyers for a little bit. So, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say this area is huge for hockey. I think the Hershey Bears obviously are, you know, a big deal and a really storied franchise. But, you know, as far as youth hockey, I think it's, you know, you kind of have to branch out and, you know, kind of get there on your own, I'll say.
Yeah, for sure. And you played a lot of youth hockey, it seemed like, throughout your time in youth. And you lead up to going into juniors where you played for 4 years playing the EMJHL, the Metropolitan Junior Hockey League, the OJHL, the EJHL, and then the
ATJHL. So, like, what was the process like to find a team where you first started in the EMJHL for the New York Apple Corps?
That was kind of wild. I mean, that was one thing that I think was tough for me because I didn't really know anyone that had a path I could follow. So there's a kid now, he's actually one of my really good friends, but back then he's 3 years older than me. So back then we kind of, you know, weren't really around each other or played with each other. But a friend of mine, Nick Chavetta, went to Apple Corps. Yeah, he ended up playing Division I at Robert Morris. He lives right around me. So when I kind of didn't know what to do, I don't even know if I really talked to him. I just know that he did it. So I went up there. He kind of got my foot in the door. And then I bounced around. I mean, I always, like, had a place to play. I don't think that was, like, ever an issue. It was just, I don't think a lot of people realized how expensive, like, junior hockey is. And I wasn't playing in places that, you know, were free. So I kind of always just went to whoever gave me the best deal. Looking back, I wish I kind of maybe would have stuck it out one place and see what happens. But, you know, it's I got to live a lot in different places too. So, yeah, it was fun. I didn't expect to play till I was 20, but ended up working out. And, yeah, I just went into college as a 45-year-old.
Yeah, and you moved around a lot, but, like, you got to see some pretty cool places, I would imagine. Just get so many opportunities to, like you said, you had somewhere to play every year. So the opportunities came to you and you're able to just grind it out. And even though you moved a lot, but, like, what was your favorite place that you played in during your time in juniors?
I really liked when I was in the Ontario League, it was pretty good. The thing up there was, it was like, I was one of, I think there's only maybe me and one other guy that were, like, billeting places. All the guys were just from there. So that was kind of tough because there's just a lot of days where you're kind of by yourself or, you have practice, but that's kind of it. So, I really liked it there. I thought the hockey was great. And, the organization and everything in the league was really good. It was just as far as, me being 17, 18 and, like, kind of being on my own quite a bit, which, again, like, it's fun, but there, it's a long season where you're kind of, there's not a lot of guys that are living away from home. So I was kind of on my own in that sense. And then I think everywhere is pretty special. I really liked Walpole too, where I ended up my last year. The coaches and stuff there were great. I got to play with some of my good buddies too that I knew growing up. I think I don't go to Plattsburgh if it's not for them. They kind of really pushed me to check that out. And I'm happy it all worked out.
Yeah, so, like, throughout this time where you're, like, constantly moving around, like, having to adjust, like, what was it like going from, like, AAA to junior hockey and, like, that lifestyle that you had to live, especially since you're farther away from home? And, like, I'm sure it was a hard adjustment for you at first before you really got in, like, maybe your second, third, fourth year in junior hockey.
Yeah, it was kind of wild. The first year I moved away was my senior year of high school. So I was playing junior B actually at Apple Corps. And then I actually, like, was lighting it up. And I was kind of, like, confused because I was like, this is junior hockey. Like, I feel like I probably should have been playing junior A at that point. I think just, like, my numbers speak for itself. And, like, again, for whatever reason, that's not what happened, but I ended up coming home that year and then playing junior B, like, around my house. And we went all the way to the national championship game and lost to a team from Long Island. But right then and there, I was kind of like, all right, like, I had a list of junior A teams that I could go play for. And I think that first year playing junior B and just kind of seeing, like, all right, like, there's, like, fighting and stuff, but that's pretty much the only the only thing that's really different. I think I was just, you know, developing like so quickly you know, stepping right into junior A was kind of the next step. And I knew that. And I think not just knowing you belong is kind of the biggest thing. Even when I'm playing pro hockey, it's, you know, you get called up, you got to know that you belong, and you know, that's how you got to handle it. So.
Yeah, for sure. And that, like, knowing you belong, like, probably boosts your confidence a lot, because if you're not confident, like, you're not going to be playing well. But when you do get that confident, know that you deserve to be there, and you should be there. Like, that just makes yourself so much more confident,
absolutely.
So much more better to play for, and just like enjoy the process as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
So then you go on from New York Apple Corps, and you get traded to, you get moved to the Central Penn Panthers in the Metropolitan Junior Hockey League. So like, what was being like moved to Central Penn and just playing in the Metropolitan Junior Hockey League?
Yeah, well, that was like what I just talked about. I was actually going to school, and then I was like kind of over it. Like, I was repeating a year of school, and I was kind of like, I didn't really want to do that anymore. So I came, that's when I moved back home, and Central Penn's right by my house. So I ended up playing with them, and we went on a pretty nice run. And then, yeah, so that was kind of what set me up for the next year. Like I said, I kind of had some good options, because we had a really good run, really good team, and, you know, I did really well. So I think that move was huge for me. And, yeah, it's kind of, I mean, kind of sucks. I had some good buddies in at Apple Corps and stuff, but, yeah, I wasn't trying to do another year of school.
Yeah, for sure. It's like, how were you able to stay motivated, like, when things weren't going, like, you didn't want to repeat school, but, like, you just kept focusing on hockey and, like, just trying to give yourself the best ability, the best chance to move up the levels and move up the leagues and eventually go pro?
Yeah, I think I feel like there's a lot of kids like me. Like, I'm not the only one, but like, hockey was really like all I cared about. You know, I would have done whatever it took kind of to keep climbing. And I mean, yeah, I had some fun along the way, obviously, but you know, it was always hockey first. So I think, you know, without even realizing, you know, I was kind of always trying to get better. And I think it's, you know, there's obviously some tough times when you're away from home and you're, you know, 16, 17, but, you know, it makes it easier when you're just doing something that you kind of, you know, really care about. And that's just kind of how hockey always was to me. Like I said, there's some long nights, but, you know, you're doing, you know, I moved up there to play hockey, not really do the other stuff. And I mean, I've probably gotten away a couple times.
Yeah, absolutely. But like, whatever you're passionate about and whatever you like, you love doing, like, you'll do whatever it takes to play at the best level and play and just compete, because that's what you care about, and you really want to keep developing further, and just you love the game, and that's all there really is to it, and you just want to keep playing as long as you can.
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree more.
Yeah, so then you go on to play in three different leagues the next 3 years, where you were very successful and put up very impressive numbers. Like, what helped you be so successful throughout those 3 years and really help your development onto the next level towards the college level?
I think honestly, if I could go back, I probably would have, you know, trained a little bit more and stuff. I think I kind of got by just, you know, being a good player and being able to, I think you see a lot of guys that do well in, you know, in junior B, or they do well in the level below, and then they come up and they can't do anything. So I think just kind of adapting and, you know, maybe if, you know, if you're not relied upon to like put points up, just doing other things to kind of stay in the lineup. And I got fortunate enough where I kind of was brought in to play the same role everywhere I was. And I really love the game. So kind of, If I felt like, you know, I was slipping or not, you know, producing as much as I would, I would change something for sure. I was lucky enough to kind of just get in that role everywhere I was and kind of run with it.
Yeah, I like how you said you had to adjust and adapt, because you go up a level, you might not be producing as much as you were in junior B, like you said, but you have to find that other like skill level, other like to way to separate yourself from the others and just get yourself out there, as well as just doing something good for the team and helping the team win and be successful.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think that's the biggest thing with a lot of young kids is they, you know, they're on the third or fourth line and, you know, they think it's all, you know, it's not their fault or it's, you know, it's the coach's fault, where, you know, if you're able to do kind of the little things, I was just talking to my buddy that's a prep school coach, and he, and I said, if you're able to do like the little things, then it allows you to do like the things you want to do. So I think, you know, I think that's something that kind of stuck with me is, you know, not really put my head down and just kind of taking the opportunity that's given to you, really.
Yeah, the little details do really matter in the game of hockey. And just like you can get away with being a good player, but if you put in like the extra like little details, like that's going to separate you from the rest of the competition, make you get more notice than anyone else.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, you said it best there. It's a, you know, it's a, you can do a lot, you know, so if you're not doing one thing, you can do something else.
Yeah, exactly. 100%. It's like, throughout your time in juniors, like what were some of your favorite junior hockey memories?
Yeah, I mean, there's so many. I think my senior year of high school, when I was living, you know, living away from home, you know, in Long Island, there's a lot of nights where we'd go into the city and stuff like that. Just, you know, cool things that a, you know, 17-year-old kid, you know, especially from around me, isn't really doing. So good stuff like that. Obviously, you know, some bus trips, some funny stories with the guys. I mean, it's been so long since I've been down there, but yeah, no, it was a good ride. It kind of flies by. You don't realize it till you're out of it. But yeah, it was good. It was fun time. Luckily, I got to see pretty much everywhere, so that was fun too. But yeah, a lot of good stories, a lot of good friends, and you know, something I wouldn't trade for anything.
Yeah, that's awesome. When you're hanging with the boys, just the stories you make with them, like those are some of the best times that you have playing the game and just enjoying the time around your teammates, and as well as playing the game.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Couldn't agree more.
Yeah, so then after juniors, you go on to play Division III college hockey at Plattsburgh. So, like, what went into picking Plattsburgh to be your school and play college hockey?
Yeah, so it was my 20-year-old year, and I had some like Division I interests, which I was really, you know, kind of trying to do. I think like anybody would. And it was funny story. I was getting calls from a lot of like Division III teams, and a lot of you know, Division III coaches were talking to me at games and stuff. And I kind of, you know, I had a meeting with my coach where I was like, hey, like you need to help me out here a little bit, because all these teams all these schools are wanting me to go on a visit, and you know, I can't really say no, but like I can't physically go to all these places. Like,
yeah.
Kind of like, wasn't like being like an asshole, but like kind of like, just help me out. Like, I'll tell you if I have any interest, and then we could set it up. So I leave his office, and I'm walking back. We lived in like dorms at the time, right in the parking lot of the rink. So I'm walking back to the dorms, and as I'm walking back, Bob Emery, like the head coach of Plattsburgh, actually called me. I didn't answer. I let go to my voicemail, but I listened to the voicemail and I walked right back in. I'm like, there's like, I just got another call. Like, can you deal with it? And he goes, my coach is like, both of them are sitting in there, and they're like, yeah, did you hear that? Like, he's like, my coach, Bob Emery, coached there for like years. And he goes, yeah, one of the most winningest coaches in college hockey called Fox, and he doesn't have time for him. So I'm like, all right. He's like, yeah, call, you're not playing this weekend, call him back, you'll go on a visit this weekend. So I went there and knew nothing about it. And yeah, it was pretty awesome. The setup, the fans, the place was packed, and the way we got treated was amazing. So yeah, it actually, you know, I got lucky, kind of fell on my lap, and I was doing really well. So yeah, it was awesome. And, you know, kind of like I said, got lucky that, you know, they called. So,
yeah, that's unreal. Fox, you were pretty popular back then, I would say, and just with all the recruiting stuff going on, like that must have been crazy to deal with, just getting calls constantly and just having no idea what to do.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. I always tell people, like, when you're growing up watching college hockey, like, you're not watching Plattsburgh. You're watching, like, you know, Minnesota and, like, Michigan. So, like, you know, I wasn't getting calls from those teams, but, you know, I had some options, like, you know, like most guys. But, yeah, I think it was kind of, like, stressful because, they're calling about these places you have no idea about, and you have to kind of, you know, not be rude, but, you know, kind of narrow it down, and it was a little stressful. So, so I got lucky, man. It was awesome. I love my time at Plattsburgh, and, you know, I was on some really good teams.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like going into your first year of college hockey, like, did you have any expectations going in, or were you just like going to go with the flow and see how your first year went to help with your second, third, fourth year?
Yeah, I didn't really have, like, I thought, you know, I'd come in, like, you know, I was talking to D1 teams, I'd come in, like, now I'm at this D3 school, I'd come in and, like, take over, but, you know, everybody that I was there with was the same as me, pretty much. And so, yeah, like, that first couple months when you're just kind of skating, like, the coaches aren't out there yet doing, like, captain skates, is kind of like a wake-up call. You're like, wow, you know, this is really good hockey. And so, yeah, it took me, like, a little bit. I was like, healthy scratch the first, you know, 5 or 6 games there. And then I kind of had a meeting with my assistant coach. Now he's the head coach there. And he was just kind of like, you know, I can see that, like, you're pretty good. But, you know, I was kind of playing scared a little bit, like, worried about making mistakes. And he kind of just was like, you know, do whatever you want. Like, I'll deal with it. And after that, I just kind of took off and never looked back. So I think, that first year was a learning experience for sure. And then, you know, having the success I did kind of set me up for the rest of the time there. So,
yeah, for sure. And you played 20 games your first year where you scored you got nine goals, 11 assists, a point per game kind of guy. So, like, yeah. Did you find that was a bit easier taking the step up, or like finding the score sheet? But besides the fact that it took time for you to get used to the game, but after you got used to the game, did you find it a little bit easier to play your game?
Yeah, I talked to my old man at one point during it where I was kind of, you know, wondering, like, what's going on? Am I going to play? You overthink it. Like, you're new. Like, yeah, am I going to have to transfer, all that stuff? And he told me just play the way that got me there. So I was like, yeah, I guess, you know, that kind of makes sense. And then once you start, like, you know, trying things and, oh, that works and this works, like, you just kind of, and then, like, the more you're playing too, it makes it easier. I think when you're watching, it, you know, causes you to kind of critique things and overthink things. So, yeah, I think, you know, just kind of playing the way that got me there was what I needed to do. And luckily enough, you know, the things I did try and the things that I, you know, was doing, you know, they work. So, yeah, could have went the other way, but I got lucky, I guess.
Yeah, for sure. You're able to get on the score sheet often. It's like, what was it like getting that first college goal?
It was good. It took a while. It took till after Christmas, actually. And then, so, yeah, it was one of those things where you kind of, you know, maybe gripping the stick a little bit or but, yeah, it was kind of just a shot through a screen and probably shouldn't have even went in, but luckily it did. And then, it felt pretty good. But, I mean, it kind of took longer than I would have liked. So,
just got to get the monkey off the back.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, yeah, it was a good feeling. It was at home too. So, get that first one, you know, something I'll never forget.
Yeah, that's awesome. So, then going into your second year a little bit here, like, you're a bit more comfortable with the team, with the college game, like, what was that second year like for you and just being, like, comfortable and getting some confidence?
Yeah, I think that was it. Just the confidence kind of coming back to a familiar area. And then I had a really good summer just because I kind of knew what I needed to do. as far as, you know, training and what to be prepared for. And then, it kind of took off where I just came out of the gates really hot, and, you know, was playing with some really good players. And yeah, I started off really good. And I think that just kind of set me up for the rest of the season. We had a really good team too. It was just kind of easy just to play and not really worry about, not knowing things or, you know, just coming back to that familiar place was kind of huge.
Yeah. And you knew what style of play you had to play and play your game, and you did that. And it's so much easier when you're doing that and not overthinking it like you did probably your freshman year, and just not being as confident as you were your second, third, and fourth year.
No, absolutely. Yeah, I think you come in, you know, all the guys, you kind of have like a little bit of swagger to you, where, you know, you're not the freshman and you can kind of, you know, you have some say and you know, you kind of run with that. So I think that kind of helps a lot.
Yeah, for sure. So then going into your junior year, you played in 24 games, and then your senior year, you played in 26 games. So like, going into your senior year, like, how special was you going into your senior year? Like, were you thinking about playing pro hockey after, or were you just focusing on at college at that point?
Well, obviously my junior year, like, I didn't put up great numbers. So I was actually kind of like nervous coming in my senior year, just because I felt like I was a little bit in the doghouse. But I like started off good, and then, you don't really play in Division III hockey. Like, you don't really think about playing pro, really, I guess. But I knew I could. I knew I kind of wanted to. And I actually had a buddy I played with my freshman year that was in Mississippi. So, I kind of knew I could maybe fall back on that if I wanted to. But I didn't really think I would play as long as I did, I guess. Like, I thought I would do it for a couple weeks just to say I did it, and then it's 5 years later. So
So then after your senior year ends, you sign a deal in the SBHL with the Mississippi River Kings. Like, what was the process like to find a pro team that wanted you to come play games right away? I know you said you had someone in there playing in Mississippi, so like, what was that, and just like getting the opportunity to play in Mississippi?
It was definitely different. I mean, I've never been to that part of the country really before. We had lost out. We were about to go on spring break, and he had called me, said someone got hurt. Do you want to come down? And he really didn't even like ask me. He was just like, you're coming down to play. So yeah, they flew me down. I was there for about 2 weeks, and then I kind of got like the ultimatum from a couple teachers that like I had to pass some classes. So I probably could have stuck it out a little longer down there, but luckily I, you know, graduated and stuff. It was awesome. It was right outside Memphis, Tennessee. So really cool little area. And the fans are great. Like, I don't think people realize how much people like love their hockey and like those cities down there. So, it was really special. I kind of, I wish they were still around.
Yeah. So like, what was that first taste of pro hockey, like your first few games? And then like, what was it like playing pro hockey in Mississippi, where you wouldn't really find a pro hockey team playing there now?
Yeah, it was definitely different. I think, like you said, or like we talked about before, just kind of knowing you belong. Like, I think I kind of was a little tentative in how I played and stuff. It was, you know, kind of wild. I think it was a little bit of a heavier game back then. That league was a tough league. That was a little bit of a wake-up call. You kind of had to watch what you did. But, it was good. You could tell right away, you know, it's good hockey. And, you kind of recognize some of the names you played in college against, or, you know, guys you grew up with playing against. And, it was a bit of a shock, but like I said, I was able to kind of adapt, and, you know, it's something that I kind of took with me was, just kind of, you know, knowing I belong, and, you know, was able to stick it out. So
I love that. And just like, what was like the adjustment there? Like, especially like the SP was a bit tougher of a league back then, like you said, and just going from Division III to playing the SP, and like you said, you felt like you belong, like the belonging there factor was a factor in that. But like, what did you find it easier to adjust or a bit harder because of the tougher league?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was an adjustment just in the sense of, like, I feel like college hockey is so just hard work, like balls to the wall, where pro hockey is just a different game. So I think that was kind of my biggest thing, was like, you know, picking my spots a little bit, because there's only 10 forwards. So, you know what I mean? You're kind of going out a lot more. And yeah, so I think that was just kind of the biggest adjustment, is, you know, not killing myself every shift, because, you know, you really can't afford to. So yeah, I mean, it was tough. There's definitely some tough guys, but, you know, I wasn't really running my mouth too much, so I didn't have to deal with it a lot.
Yeah, absolutely. And like, going into like the toughness of the SBHL, like what was like your what the fuck moment when you first got into pro hockey? Like, was there like a fight your first few games, like a bench clear, like any story that you have, like you're like, what the fuck's going on?
My first year, I played with a kid, Tyler Barr, and he was kind of like, he was probably like the toughest guy in the league, if not one of them. And yeah, there'd be like some nights where him and the other guy would like, whoever the other team's tough guy was, they would fight each other like three times and both get thrown out. Like, it was just like, you knew they were going to fight three times. And but yeah, no, like I didn't really have too many bench clearing stuff, anything like that. You know, I mean, there's a lot of fights, obviously, but nothing too crazy. I think my first like real pro hockey moment was like, we played somewhere and, you know, we're busing back and, you know, you just like beers on the bus, like stuff like that, where I'm like, oh shit, like this isn't bad. But yeah, then you get to learn, it's kind of just, you know, playing in the minors and what it's like. But yeah, I didn't really have too many, you know, crazy fight stories. Like I said, you know, Barzy was kind of a maniac, but, you know, awesome guy, good guy to have on your team, that's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Good little life to live, just drinking beer on the bus after games, just vibing with the boys.
Yeah, can't beat it.
Oh, yeah. So, like, you played in Mississippi for almost – 2 full years before you got a call up to the ECHL for the Reading Royals. Like, what was it like in that first ECHL call up and your experience in Reading?
Yeah, it was awesome. I think, Reading's like an hour from where I grew up too, so that was pretty cool. But I was actually, I think it was like right after Christmas, and I was leading the SPHL in goals like for a while. So I was kind of like, you know, hoping something would come. And like, you know, couldn't have been more special, kind of, you know, being there, and where, like, you know, I didn't even come home for Christmas that year. So to come home a couple days, you know, after the new year, finally, and like see everyone, it was awesome. And to kind of get a taste of that level is, you know, pretty special.
Yeah, so you played in 10 games in Reading, and you got a goal and 2 assists, I believe. So, like, what was getting that first ECHL goal like?
It was pretty funny. It was in my second game, and it's actually like probably one of the nicer goals I scored. It was the number 5 goal of the year in like the whole season, actually. So my only goal.
Not bad.
Yeah, it was pretty nice, but. Yeah, it was good. Like, I think it was nice for me just to come in and start playing rather than like sitting around for a couple of days, because I just kind of picked up where I left off in Mississippi. So to do that and to kind of, you know, get that first one, that was, like I said, in my second game, was pretty nice. I just wish I could have done a bit more, because all 3 of my points were in that second game, so I kind of shut her down after that.
A three-point night, though, that's pretty special. But, of course, you want to keep producing, but not get all three of them in one game.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
but it is what it is. And just like, it's like going from like the ECHL and the SBHL, like what was the biggest thing you had to learn going from the SB to the coast?
I think kind of you just see guys that are kind of next. I always say they're pretty similar. I think there's a lot of guys that could be, that play in the SBHL that could make the jump. It's just kind of what kind of opportunity they get. But, there's definitely two or three guys on every ECHL team that probably should be in the AHL. And it's the same thing in the SBHL, or, there's two or three guys on each team that should probably be in the coast. So, it's very similar. But, obviously it's a little higher level, a little faster, a little, smarter. So just stuff like that. Not too crazy, but, if you can figure it out, it's, easy transition.
Yeah, absolutely. So then going into the next season, you start out the season in Roanoke in the SB, where you played in 24 games with 16 points. Like, what kept you motivated to put your head down, keep grinding, especially getting that taste in the coast and just wanting to be back up there?
It was actually, so I actually re-signed with Reading after that season, and they cut me in camp. So, and my team in Mississippi had folded, so I was kind of just thinking about hanging them up. I kind of trained to play all year and do that, and luckily enough, I knew the coach in Roanoke through a friend of mine I went to college with. Called him, and I just said, I don't really care what you pay me, anything, I just kind of need to play somewhere, I want to do it. And I wasn't even going to take any call-ups. I was just going to play one more year and then shut it down. But so I went there, and it was a good group of guys, kind of like made me want to keep playing a little bit. And then I was getting calls, like ECHL calls, and I was actually turning them down. And then when Maine called me, my coach in Roanoke kind of really pushed me up. And, so I really owe a lot to him, because I probably wouldn't even have went.
Yeah, for sure. And just like, you found the love of the game again, playing for Roanoke. And then you get that call up to the ECHL, to the Maine Mariners, where you're currently the leading goal scorer in their history. It's like, what was your experience playing in Maine and just knowing that you're up there in the record books right now, and just your overall experience playing in Maine?
Yeah, it was awesome. I think that city, Portland, is unbelievable. Just like outside of hockey, the place is really cool. The organization there is like unbelievable. The head coach, Riley Armstrong, awesome, does an awesome job. Our GM is Danny Briere. So he like obviously knows a lot of people, and, they're so good to their players and what they do for them, and they, take care of them. And it actually all couldn't have worked out better. I think I walked into a situation where I got a chance to play, and, that's all I really wanted at that level. So, yeah, I owe a lot to, that organization and, everyone involved, because they kind of, gave me that second life.
Yeah, so, like, it gave you that second life. So I'm guessing Maine's pretty special to you and close to your heart, and just you love everything about the organization playing in Maine. So, like, what was it about, like, the fan base that, like, really, like helped with, like, the love of the game and just love of playing in Maine?
Yeah, the fans are great. I mean, I think they are like, it's kind of special to see, when you're there for a while, to kind of get to know some of them and, see some familiar faces. But I also think that they just like appreciated, like, I wasn't out there like fighting people every night, but I think they could, they know the game enough to kind of see that I'm really, the things I'm doing and like how hard I'm working. And, that's kind of all that you can ask. I think I'm a pretty like quiet guy as far as, I'm not out there really like, playing to the crowd. I just kind of try and put my head down and go to work. And, they took a real liking to me, just doing that. So I think as a player, anywhere you go, if you have a fan base that's knowledgeable about the game and can kind of appreciate that, just a guy that, you know, is happy to be there and you know, will try and do whatever it takes. You know, it's pretty easy to play in a city like that.
Yeah, that's unreal. That's awesome stuff right there. And then going and then you play in the ECHL for a season in Maine. Then you get a call up, another call up to the AHL, this time to the Hartford Wolfpack. So where you got to play in two games. So what was that little call up to Hartford like?
Yeah, it was awesome. I mean, it was pretty surreal. You don't really expect when you're, you know, playing in Mississippi in the SPHL to be in the American Hockey League. So yeah, it was awesome. I think, you know, I think I owe a lot to, you know, the main organization, like the coaching staff and Danny and stuff, because, you know, we had guys that should have been probably called up before me, but, you know, I was playing better, you know, guys, NHL and AHL contracted guys, and, you know, they pushed for me to get a chance, and, you know, it's something I'll never forget, just, you know, cause I never really expected me to be there. So.
Yeah, that's awesome. Just you got to play in two games there. So that's good that you played there. So like, what were there any like good stories that came out of playing in Hartford?
Yeah, not really. I think like, I mean, I was only there for about 6 or 7 days, but pretty nice how you get treated up there. So I can't even imagine like what the National League's like, because yeah, in Hartford they really took care of you, and you know, I wasn't really you know, they're feeding me all the time, they're, you know, anything you really need. So you know, to get treated like that for a week wasn't terrible, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, that's awesome. You get treated like that, and like, you can't imagine what the NHL, how you get treated there, and like, especially like being in the AHL for like the mainstay and just being there. So like, what were some of the biggest things you learned from those like 6-7 days that you were there, those two games that you played, from going from the coast to the AHL?
I think just kind of how much off ice stuff goes into the game, you know, kind of how much they look into like how you're treating your body and like what you're putting into it and stuff like that. You know, I never really had that. You know, playing at the Division III level, or you know, even playing pro. I mean, in Maine, they did a pretty good job of it, but you know, it's next level up there where they're kind of really keeping an eye on it. So, yeah, that's something that you know, I kind of took away, is just, you know, making sure I'm kind of putting the right things in my body, and you know, because I always just kind of, you know, ate whatever I wanted and did whatever. So yeah, the way they treated, you know, your nutrition and, you know, weighing in and weighing out every day and, you know, hydrating was kind of really eye-opening. And, you know, I could really feel a difference once I kind of started focusing more on that.
Yeah, you could learn a lot from that, and just everything around there, like to be in that elite of an athlete and just stay there. And like, you could learn a lot and take from what you learned in the AHL, apply to what you did in the coast, and just,
yeah,
get better and make another jump into the AHL and then possibly the NHL in the next level.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, I think all the tools are there. Like, that was, like I said, something I never really experienced. So yeah, if you take advantage of it, it definitely helps.
Yeah, exactly. So I want to get into a little bit of stall stories here. So earlier this year, you and your co-host Terrence Wallen decided to create a podcast called Stall Stories. Like, what were the origins to the creation of Stall Stories?
Yeah, so we've told this story like a couple of times now, but just on Twitter, he was looking to listen to a hockey podcast, and I just tweeted back at him like, why don't we start one? And he like texted me right away, and he's like, yep. I'm like, well, you know, I'm kind of working now, like I don't know how much time I'll have. He's like, I'll take care of it. So yeah, it's been fun. I think me and him have a really good relationship where we're able to feed off each other pretty well. And yeah, I mean, we know a lot of good, you know, good people within the game. So we try and do that. And, you know, it's easy to talk hockey, I think, once you've been around it, you know, as long as we have. So yeah, it keeps us in the game while we're not playing right now. And yeah, it's been fun. I think, we talked about before the show, it's a little hectic sometimes lining up the guests, but you know, once we get on camera, it just kind of flows really well, and you know, hopefully we can keep it rolling. I think you know, like I said, we know some good people, and hopefully we can get some people listening and, you know, and hearing these guys. So yeah, it's been good. And I got to give him most of the credit though. I just come on and kind of talk shit. That's about it.
Yeah, for sure. And just, you guys have gotten some high caliber athletes on there, and just, so like, who have you got? Do you guys have like a favorite guest that you guys have had on? Or I know it's really hard to pick because every guest is probably your favorite. Same thing with here with us here. Like every guest is our favorite. Like you just can't pick one.
Yeah. I think so. We had one. I think it was our second episode. We had one of my buddies, Matt Cavanaugh. He's a lacrosse player. Plays in the PLL. But I played junior hockey with him, and I think that one was probably my favorite. I know it was early, but he just a little something different. Like it's funny how much he knows about the game, being like professional lacrosse player even. So just kind of getting a different thing, and he was one of my really, you know, one of my oldest buddies, so kind of just to chat with him you know, was fun for me. But yeah, everyone we have on, we kind of, one of us knows them or like we know of each other, so just kind of getting to know everyone. If I don't know them or catch up with old buddies, it's kind of what we wanted to do, and that's, you know, that's kind of the best part.
Yeah, for sure. That's awesome. So like, what is it that makes you love sharing the podcast with people and like helping people learn from these other player stories and the experiences these guys have had?
Yeah, I think it's just unique. You kind of where everybody started to where they're at to, you know, everyone's got their story about, you know, their first professional game or this or that. And just kind of hearing, because it's all different for everybody. So kind of hearing, you know, especially Wally has a hockey school, Evolution Hockey, in the Portland, Maine area. And, you know, I think he wanted to do it to kind of teach, you know, some of these young kids that, it's not an overnight thing. So I think that's kind of been our focus, is kind of just, you know, hearing all the different avenues you can get places and you know, try and make it kind of educational, but also, you know, pretty funny and hear some good stories while we're at it.
Yeah, exactly. That's the main goal here, is just to hear everyone's stories and then learn from the experiences that these guys have had and just help everyone else, like, know that not everyone's story is the same. Everyone's story is going to be different and unique, and like how you can grow as a person, as an athlete, and just overall just make yourself a better person as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's you know, there's a lot out there, and you can kind of get down on yourself sometimes, but you know, there's a lot of ways to get where you want to be. So
yeah, absolutely. So I have a few more questions for you. So my next question for you is, do you have any tips for hockey players looking to get to that next level?
Yeah, I think I get asked this quite a bit. I would say I don't think you need to like focus on hockey so much right away. I think I play with a lot of guys that are really good hockey players, but they like are like the most unathletic person you'll meet in your life. I think what helped me kind of get where I got was I was athletic, and I was able to kind of, you know, I didn't always have like the best training facilities or like the best group of hockey guys to train with, or, but I was just athletic and able to kind of, you know, keep up with the game at any level. I think it's just because I didn't focus on hockey. I was doing other things. So I'd say, you know, there is a time to kind of maybe focus on it, like 15, 16, you know, 17 years old. But, you know, until then, just kind of, you know, stay moving, try and, you know, like I think hockey is obviously the best sport, but there's other things you can do to help your game. So,
yeah, absolutely. That's an awesome tip for everyone. And just hockey is the best sport, but like you could just move around, just make yourself more athletic, more explosive, like all that stuff. Absolutely. And just it'll help in hockey as well.
Yeah, definitely. Like that's like my biggest thing, because I think you know, there's a lot of guys I play with that kind of have, you know, 10 to 12 guys they skate with in the summer. Like, I don't even know 10 to 12 guys that live around me to skate with. So, you know, kind of doing those other things, I think, you know, kept me going.
Yeah, absolutely. So my last question for you is, like, what's your favorite pump up song? Like, you're trying to get a finish a rep, finish a skate, like pregame warm-ups, like, what are you listening to?
Oh man, put me on the spot. Probably, I mean, it sounds so cliche, but I love Drake. So probably something Drake. I don't really like know off the top of my head. Maybe like one of his new ones he just came out with. That's what I would. I don't find myself in the gym too often anymore.
Yeah, but that's still awesome. Like that, those songs will get you pumped up no matter what.
Yeah. So now when I'm heading downtown, I listen to it. That's about it.
Oh yeah, that's awesome. So Foxy, thank you so much for coming on the show. I really appreciate your time, and want to wish you the best of luck going forward with your career and in life.
Yeah, buddy, appreciate it. Yeah, it's good to hop on here with you. I know I wish I had a couple more stories for you, but, you know, maybe I've been hitting the head too many times. So, yeah, no, man, this was awesome. I appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, no problem.